Hello, everyone. This is Kamala Appel, aka The Key in Key Productions. We are here with John Salat, and we are going to be talking about how to live a healthy lifestyle, which is something that I would think all of us aspire to do, but hopefully in a manageable way, which is what we're focusing on. So, John, please introduce yourself and tell people a little bit about your background.
Well, thank you, Kamala. Yeah, well, I am a book author, and I've had my experiences was really working with energy work and energy medicine and energy balancing, and I just have taken it to different levels with the starting with the human potential level into transformational type of education and experiential education. So I just realized there's an energy charge with everything. So I've taken that to different levels and teaching classes in Tai Chi, Qigong, Reiki, meditation, energy movement dance classes. And, I've led classes to a lot of celebrities and people, and even people in the medical field, and even work at a medical clinic for both physical therapists and psychologists and doctors, and interfacing this work, which is perhaps considered new for many people.
Although I think it's probably been around for probably thousands of years or so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not new. No, yeah, it's old as the hills, as long as energy has always been around us and it's always accessible. You don't need tools or instruments, and it's just about as natural as life is itself.
So I'm wondering how the medical community, if they've embraced you or if they've kind of approached you with a level of cynicism, because sometimes, I mean, it surprises me because I think, you know, if you're a doctor, you would just want your patient to be healthy, you
mm-hmm.
would think, and whatever it takes. But I have noticed that sometimes, you know, Western medicine poo-poos some holistic or Eastern medicine or alternative forms of healing. How has the medical community treated you?
You know, it does get challenging sometimes. I work at two different centers. One is where people are mentally health challenged, so I use Reiki and energy medicine there, and then I also use moving awareness such as Tai Chi, and I alternate those classes there. And they've really look at results. They don't care about the means and the methods, where the other place where it's a pain clinic center with people experiencing pain more than a year, where the insurances are just being dragged down because they're on, you know, medications and painkillers and stuff. So we're like the last hope. They're a little more conservative there and just want me to stick with the moving energy kinesthetical work and not with the energy medicine, because I was kind of reprimanded. So I was going, oh, ouch. So,
wow.
Yeah, you definitely feel that. And of course, you know, I just have this dream, like, it's all integrated medicine. It's not like one's better than the other. And I really am a team player. But I just know that, yeah, people just have a certain skepticism. And it is out there, you know, no doubt. It's not like it's always a place
Who's
where you can
failing.
Always share everything. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, did that ever surprise you? Or did anything, you know, along your journey to be healthy and fit yourself and help others come as a surprise to you?
Yeah, you know, I really, you know, one thing I learned is as I work with myself and students is, you know, students teach me everything. And I have students who just have a lot of concern and worry, and they want to talk to me before a class. And I said, well, it's okay if we save it after the hour of class. And I get their permission, they'll say yes. And then we do the 1 hour work, and then I ask them again the same question. So what is it you want to talk about? And they'll say, oh, I don't have anything to talk about. So what it tells me is that pain and suffering, concerns and worries, and how we experience it in our body or our mind is so abstract that it really is fabrication that starts to eat us alive. And so I realize once we get it in our bones, you know, just simply who we are, there's just a quiet peace. There's an inner peace that starts to take over.
So when you say that it's often a fabrication, what do you mean? That it's something that it's like a focus shift when they shift their focus?
It's kind of like our mind kind of builds up a crescendo. You know how people have anxiety attacks and they start to accelerate it more and more with breathing and our heartbeat?
Right.
You know, it's kind of like an echoing effect. And I think it's kind of true in if any kind of paradigm that as soon as we start becoming overwhelmed and attached to it, it starts to take control over us. And it, all it is just emotions get triggered and it starts to run us. So, you know, the whole idea is to neutralize that so that the emotions don't become the truth. Emotions are just the energy itself it's expressing, but then it passes through as quickly as it comes. So we're not attached about the emotion either, even though we have emotions. And all it is just being an open, free-flow system and saying, oh, I'm just experiencing another moment now, without bringing all the meaning and energy charge to it.
And kind of dwelling on it and magnifying it.
Exactly.
So I'm wondering, what happened in your life to get you on this path? Were you kind of always interested in this, or did you have an aha moment, a pivotal moment in your life that made you really make a commitment to living a healthy life?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't fun. You know, at the age 18, my doctor came up to me and told me, your mom's going to die of cancer. I gave her about 5 years. And, you know, watching her health deteriorate during those 5 years, she did, you know, pass away, and I was about 23 then. And but I saw also mental issues come up with family member and our family members, too, from the reaction to that. So I was dealing with physical and mental disruption, like, wow, you know, life is perishable and terrible things happen. I mean, I was really scared at that age.
Mm-hmm.
And so I realized I had to take something in my own hand. I didn't have any pedestals of family members to feel I can lean on. And so I really realized that I was interested in attitudinal healing. Suppose if the paradigm of who I am and who I'm being will be my savior, you know, and in a way some people refer in the Western world as faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I really was just curious about, well, you know, maybe everything is attitudinal shifting, and it has nothing to do with genes. And the fear that I had was that I'm doomed because statistically everything's based on your family genes. You know, your
mm-hmm.
mind and your you know, whether it be a mental health, a physical health, everything is tracked. You know, insurance companies reinforce it that, you know, basically you have a statistical. But I just decided, you know, forget that.
Right.
It didn't serve me. It just, so I'm looking at what works in life versus, you know, what doesn't. And so I let that be my true serum. And in a way, it was kind of like a vaccination shot. You know, and it was really painful for me going through that, and I wish it upon nobody. But it was like a vaccination shot. It actually helped me really develop clear eyesight to where I'm going in my life, you know, with my health and vitality. And even though I was studying architecture, I'm an architect, and I'm, you know, also a musician, and I did all these creative things, and I've been successful with art and all these, including writing. But really, my creativity is just part of that whole open form where, you know, where I don't have control of certain things. Suppose if I'm just inventing myself, and life is just spirituality is just about creativity, and mm-hmm. in my relationships with my family and people, and it's just, it's always a, you know, like a groundbreaking thing. And so everything's supporting everything versus like something's getting torn down. So I look for, I guess you could say I'm an optimist, you know, and I just feel like that feeds me and serves me well, you know. And so, and when I got to energy medicine, you know, I started studying Tai Chi right after, you know, my mother had passed away. And so I started studying energy healing and Tai Chi, and I was doing the human potential thing. And I did all these, and meditation, I became a Siddha, we learned to levitate. I did all these things all in 1 year. I was like up to like, well, I'm up to this big stuff. And I started having
right.
some really wild experiences because when I started, you know, standing on a platform, like I really want to transform my life, I mean, I was really having amazing experiences. And so I also thought, well, maybe I'm crazy because I haven't always these multidimensional experiences. As I was releasing Letting Go, I just had this whole inner transparency to life that was so insightful that I was actually kind of scared to tell people what was going on. And so as I'm working in architecture, I kind of buried all that stuff. I decided that, oh, I don't want anybody to know this, and I'm standing underneath the flickering lamps of neon bulbs in the side of a inside of an office cubicle space, and well, I'm not happy doing this either. And then I started going back into exploring more about energy medicine and started studying at the Esalen Institute and other places and kept expanding into that whole realm. And then I thought, wow, you know, I got to write about it too, because I start impacting people's lives. People are being healed from, you know, mental depression was falling away. People had physical issues that they no longer had, and you know, people were bouncing up, you know, and felt very enthused and excited. And so I realized that, wow, you know, people are happy with what I'm doing. This makes total sense now, you know. This is
so
my true calling.
So what made you shift? When were you able to stop doing the other work that you maybe weren't as excited about, like architecture, even though there must be things about it that you liked, to doing it, you know, to doing what you're doing now full time?
Well, you know, there's a commonality. They both deal with creativity. Architecture, to me, isn't really much of a people. It's more like sitting behind a space and, you know, dealing with intellectual issues, to me, you know. And when I realized I feel free doing interactive exercises or experiential educational, it's really about enjoying being with people and having like an energy playground. And I just love interacting and doing things that come out of play of spirit, because that's where healing begins. And, you know, also I'm also a laughing yoga leader, which is, you know, working with laughter as a physical exercise and, you know, letting the body feel joy, you know, letting the body feel the vibration of energy and having fun. And so, you know, I even studied some improv theater and things, but I was just very curious about what happens when we just have fun and just noticing the shift through our body and our cells. And, you know, as you hear, there's so many stories about, you know, how our genes are actually are being manifested differently just by attitudinal shifts. You know, we're actually recreating our genes in the moment, you know.
Wow.
And there's some studies on it, and there's some scientists that are just coming. So all the stuff I thought about back in the 70s when I said, hey, I don't believe all this gene stuff, I mean, now they're actually making scientific evidence. So maybe I realized, well, maybe I'm not so crazy. I'm not that, you know, lofty of a
person.
You know?
You're not the first person to say, and of different generations, a lot of the boomers, the baby boomers, have said they felt judged and like a misfit. But even some of the Gen Xers have felt the same way. So, I mean, it's interesting to see that you know, that how institutionalized our health system is. I mean, and how it really affects people's approach towards their own health, basically what larger institutions are telling them that they should do. It might even go against their own instincts.
Well,
you know,
yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that our culture teaches us what the reality is, but doesn't serve us. You know, it's
right.
Like watching news doesn't help us either, you know, but we watch news. But, you know, how the insurance companies rate ourselves as far as our health and what that's supposed to mean. So really the attitude and healing just basically boils down to the paradigm of like, yeah, our culture will tell us one thing, but we got to be unreasonable with ourselves. We actually got to step out of that paradigm of how the medical industry looks at us and how statistics look at us and the culture and break out of that paradigm. And, you know, ancient, you know, shamans and sages, these people were being very unreasonable. They've broken these multidimensional aspects of, you know, being free and uninhibited and allowing themselves to, your souls be guided into, you know, making miraculous things occur, you know.
Right.
And so, you know, and I don't know anything about acting, but, you know, I just think like, you know, those are perfect examples. They're like shamans, people who develop personas and characters, and they can actually shift people's moods and feelings and make them cry or laugh. You know, it's that kind of power, right? We have.
Well, it's more than just the actors. I mean, it's the whole team doing that.
Yes.
I mean, it's huge. But I'm just wondering. So there's some challenges from the medical community. There's some challenges, maybe even internally, about at some point about what you felt like you should do versus what really inspired you. Is there anything that still currently challenges you about living a healthy lifestyle? And what do you do at a moment of challenge to keep yourself motivated?
Wow, you know, I still do feel very challenged. And maybe it actually gets easier. And what I mean by that is, you know, I talk about having fun. Whenever I get this clunk sound versus a nice clean ring bell, but whenever I get really serious and significant and things just kind of feel very closed, you know, that's a time where it's an opportunity for me to go, oh, you know, and just take a flip, you know, just choose what it is that my body really is. And the only way, it's not just about me, my world. I know I talk about inner experiences and things and meditation starts, but it is really our surroundings too, because when I'm feeling crummy, you know, other people are impacted by that. Mm-hmm. And so watching those impacts, that's part of the environment. And so, you know, if my wife's not happy or my son's not happy around me, then I got to create some way of being that is more genuine. Because whenever I get really dead serious, I lose a sense of fun. There's an inauthenticity in myself. So I do have to do check-ins. I mean, it's not like I always have this. This because I write a book about Dara Flow means life's about flow.
So then what do you do at that moment? At the moment you feel challenged, what do you do or say to yourself to stay motivated, to get yourself back on track?
Just noticing the heaviness and the weight and the whatever I bring with it that I just don't enjoy it. And I'm saying, well, if I don't enjoy it, why not? And if life's about enjoying, then just choose to joy. I know it sounds really simple. It's like turning a switch on, right? You probably think, well, no, there's more shades of gradients in there, right? And you know, everybody may have their own way of doing it, but I'm just answering honestly for myself that do I want a life of joy? Do I want a life of being a victim, or I want a life of misery? Mm-hmm. And you know, and not to say that we get to emote and there's times of grieving and all that's so true, but I think it's just too easy to get stuck in one channel, you know. And so to me, the dynamics of living is having all these free-flowing emotions and expressions and things that don't even have any attachment, and it would just allow them to sort of flush through, you know. And,
okay.
And so it, I don't know if that helps answer that.
Yeah, but no, I'm just curious.
Simply. Yeah, and I maybe it's just too simple. Like people say, well, no, that's just too simple. They want a formula, you know, or something.
Well, I think
like there's got to be some big process, you know. I mean, I got 300. My book has 300 exercises in it, right? It goes through distinctions, and all it does is gives people an opportunity to distinctions just aren't the truth. Distinctions just give people a way to break themselves free, so they're not attached to just one certain, you know, idea world. But it's really about feeling a movable mind and like water running through the brain. You know, we just want to keep ourselves not stuck, but allow ourselves to feel the joy of change and the dynamics that are always occurring, right?
I want to make sure that you're able to share. I mean, it sounds like one tip that you're sharing is just to kind of sit and feel your heaviness and really think about, you know, what space you want to be in and try to move yourself towards joy. Is there one other tip that you can share with people that an everyday person could do starting today that would make a big difference in their life?
Yeah, it's embracing it all anyway. Like sometimes you can enjoy being sad. Or you can just say, I'm having a crappy day, and people might enjoy that, you know, but it's got to be without judgment assessment. And I think that's where we get stuck. As soon as we start judging our experiences, we negate what that energy is. And so everything I'm about is where's the energy going, right? And so it's just honoring that energy and being authentic about it. So it's not just trying about being happy necessarily. It's really about this is what's so and this is what I need to do. And there's just a natural integrity. There's just an organic relationship that we get to, you know, genuinely align, and that's more than enough. We don't have to do any more or less than that.
Wow.
Now, one of the ways of doing it is, of course, exercises. When I teach Tai Chi and Qi Kong, you know, anything that deals with embodying yourself in the moment, you know, the kinesthetic part is challenges people. That's one of the most challenging meditations. Sitting meditation is good, too. Nothing wrong being in that quiet state doing that. But when you're involving, you know, with gravity and moving around or standing or walking and doing different things as a meditation, it brings all five senses are so challenged that you actually have a breakthrough, and then you cleanse the five senses with all the filtering that normally interferes with our experiences. As far as we know, our experiences through our five senses.
Well, I agree with that. I can definitely say that I've experienced that with running. I want to make sure that we share with people, before we run out of time talking about running, how people can find out more about you and your work. If you have, you know, a website to share or a book title, please do that.
Are you asking me a question?
Yeah. I want to. If you do have a website or a book title that you'd like to share, I want to make sure you share that with people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I have my book, Tao Art of Flow, is actually that website. So it's www.tao, because Tao is spelled with a D, but it's spelled with a T. T-A-O, then Art of Flow. That's one word, TaoArtOfFlow.com. That's the book for exercise. You can get that on Kindle or a paperback through anywhere on the internet, and my website will direct you to that. Also, my classes and events that I offer is chiflows.com, so it's www.chiflows.com, and those, most of my courses here are in Southern California in Orange County, but I can also, you know, create classes for people and groups elsewhere if they want to have me set up, events and things as well.
That's great. Thanks so much, John, for that interesting and helpful information, very positive information. So people can follow up with you at TaoArtOfFlow.com and ChiFlows.com.
Yes.
I'm going to stop the recording and come back to you.
All right.